Hey, we're so excited that you're joining us here on Community Church Podcast, where our prayer is that you would find a better life with Jesus and a secure place in heaven. We hope this message encourages you, and if you want to find out more ways to connect, you can visit us at forabetterlife.org.
Everybody say with me, Lord, I am ready to hear your word, to believe your word, and to live your word, because I've been chosen for victory and not for defeat, for health and not for sickness, for prosperity, not for poverty, because I am more than a conqueror. Come on, in Jesus' name and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Come on. Woo. You may be seated, and if you're at home, you're probably seated. So let's get to it. This morning, I was checking all the topics that we have been teaching and conversations we've been having in this pandemic, in this time. And I think Pastor David was saying it's day 72, if someone can correct me. Day 76. I was counting 4 days. Day 76. And I have seen how God has guided us as a community through these weeks, through these days, through these weekends. And it's impressive. I feel God has been speaking into our hearts. He's been speaking life. He's getting us ready for us to navigate what's next. And I don't know about you, but I believe that we're going to get out of this season even better. I don't know about you, but you got to believe that. I don't know about you, but you got to believe that. We will be better after this. Now, that doesn't happen just for chance. We got to do our part. God is in control of the things that only He can control, and we can control the things that we can control, and we got to work this out. And, you know, one of my favorite teachings, I don't know about you if you remember, in this season was 8 days waiting. Literally, it's like I have faith, and sometimes we get tired of waiting, but never forget that a season of waiting, it will never be a wasted season. God works every single moment and every single season, and even if it takes 8 days to believe, I am going to believe what God is doing in my life. We've also been speaking about God's blessing, and I have declared that upon my family, and I've declared that also upon your life in Jesus' name. The blessing of God is upon us, and that cannot change. But you and I need to do our part to be able to navigate that. And today, as we continue in this beautiful season, and we are reopening, and things are getting a little bit more like not normal, because I don't even know if we were ever normal. Come on. I don't even know that. But things are getting more stable. Restaurants are reopening. Places are reopening. But we are getting used to now a new way of doing things. Now you go to a restaurant and there's certain things that you have to do. And now you come to church and there's certain things you have to do. But we are excited. And today I want to speak to you on the topic of the trial at the end of the trial. The trial at the end of the trial. You and I will constantly live trials in our lives. Totally. Trials are you can't avoid it. They're unavoidable. Trials will come into our lives. A trial is a test. Very simple. A trial is a test. And when I hear test, I don't know about you, but when I hear test, school comes to me like immediately. I didn't like tests. I don't know about you, but I really dislike tests at school. And if you go to school, we just celebrate a bunch of graduates. Congratulations, by the way. If you're here and you're a graduate, congratulations. If you're watching, like, congratulations, you made it. It's a huge accomplishment. Woo! But I remember when I was younger, And I was kind of like researching a little bit, and I heard it's the same thing. There are so many different tests as you go through school, and in life is no different. There are so many tests, so many trials that you and I face. For example, when you're in school, you have midterms, right? You got midterms. You got when the teacher is, you know, happy, they do pop quizzes, right? But also, you got the state exams too. But there's a particular group of tests at school that are very, very interesting is your finals. Woo! Have you ever heard someone that says, oh, I'm in finals? Your whole life changes when you're in finals. Literally. I graduated a long time ago. I am from the class of 2000. Y2K, come on. For some reason, when I graduated, we thought the world was going to end. We thought computers were going to shut down. And I think that's exactly what happened. Listen, when I graduated back in El Salvador, it's going to be now November. That's going to be 20 years now. Oh, my goodness. 20 years ago, I graduated from high school. And it was interesting. We were about 68 students, like, overall. Okay, it was a small school. I know. I've been to graduations of 700 people. But this is like 68 people. Now, most of us did okay during the whole school year. Some people excel, you know, they did super good. Some, but most of us, we did okay. So we got to the end quarter pretty fine. We were okay, but we were missing our final exam. Now, I don't know about you and you guys, but in my time, the final exam had a lot of score, and it meant like a lot for the final grade. Now, I ask around, it's like 40%. So you already know that if you get, and you could do okay so far, but if you miss that final test and you do super bad, you are completely in danger of failing the year. Well, on the 2YK graduation in El Colegio Augusto Valte in El Salvador, yours truly, thank God I graduated. And I'll tell you why I graduated and why some of my friends, at the end of the day, they didn't graduate. Because in the last quarter, I gave it all my effort because I knew that the final exam, those finals were going to allow me to graduate as a senior. Thank goodness, okay, I wasn't the smartest student, but I gave it my all and I graduated. And you know what? In life is exactly like that. Trials will come. Trials will follow, trials will appear, but at the end of a season of trials, you might just find yourself that the final season is going to show, the final trial is going to show, will you be approved or not? And let me say something, we're not talking about God approving you or not. God loves you the way you are, He receives you the way you are, and He's not going to allow you to stay the same because He loves you, but that doesn't mean you're not approved. What we're talking about here is if you approve the trial to be able in the next stage of your life. Okay? Two very different things. We're not talking if you are a son of God or you're not a son of God. No, we're talking if you are ready to go into the next stage of your life. Because there's nothing worse to be at a place where you're not ready to be at. There's nothing worse for you to graduate high school and you were not supposed to graduate high school, but some miracle happened. I don't know how you graduated, and you go to college, and you feel completely unprepared. And life is exactly the same thing, and that finds us here at our topic, the trial at the end of the trial. And there's a story in the Bible, the people of Israel, all the people of Israel, we learn so much from them, but when I see them, I see us, to be very honest with you. And the people of Israel, they receive the promise of God. And God spoke to Abraham, and He told Abraham, I'm going to make you a multitude. I'm going to make you nations, so many people. You'll be able to be blessing to others. And they start the journey. They commence the journey of following God's promise for their lives. But how many of you know that a promise has a process in the middle? Lots of us, we love the promise, but we don't like the process. And it is in the process, like we were just singing, in the middle, where trials and tribulations, they come to us. But I want to tell you something, you and I, we need trials in our lives. You and I, we need trials to come into our life because that is the way that our character is shaped, that our character is formed, and it gets us ready for the next season of our lives. And in their case, they go through these motions. Israel is formed as a nation, But you know the story of Joseph, and in the midst of that story, Joseph ends up in Egypt, and then there's a famine in the land. All Israel technically comes with his family to Egypt. They establish themselves. They prosper there. But all of a sudden, change of authority, change of Pharaoh, and they become slaves for 400 years. That promised land seemed so far away. And I don't know about you, but sometimes God promises they feel so far away that we cannot reach it, that the test is the end of us. I have to tell you today, and the Holy Spirit is sending you a message, the test that you're undergoing right now, the trial that you are facing today is not the end of you. That trial has a purpose in your life, and it is to make you better and to be able to equip you for the next season and the fulfillment of the promise that God has for you in your life. You have to believe that today. God is a good God. And the people of Israel, they start seeing that promise so far away. 400 years later, God sends Moses. God sends someone back. Moses left Egypt as a murderer, but he comes back as the savior of the people. And then in that moment, you know what happened? The plagues came. Pharaoh, at the end of the day, he approves, lets them go into the promised land. They were so ready. By the way, they left the trial in a very prosperous way. I want to remind you that today God will always provide to you in the midst of your trial. And I'm going to speak to you about that in just a second. But as they exit the slavery, as they exit Egypt, they find themselves with yet another trial. They're on their way to the promised land and they hit the Red Sea. So what now? And doesn't feel like that in life, we get out of a trial, and then the next one is just waiting at the door, saying like, hey. And you're like, really? I just got out of it. It's like that trial within the trial. And he's like, oh, my goodness. But don't forget, every trial has a purpose. Every trial in our life can get the best out of us without a doubt. And in their case, they face the sea, and God once again shows His might, show His power, like every single time in their lifetime. The same, I believe, for you and for me, that in the midst of every trial, we will see the power of God, the might of God, His presence manifest in our lives. And then the Red Sea gets split into two. The people of Israel, they go and they pass. The enemies are defeated and they are on the way to the promise. But something happened in the midst of this. There is a moment in the Bible, and I want to read it to you, where the people of Israel got tired, got bored, and got desperate. And I don't know about you, but I have felt like that so many times before, that we are in the middle of a tribulation, of a season that is rough, and we just get tired. Maybe today, you're just tired. You're tired of Zoom calls. Maybe you're tired of Zoom calls. No. It's a blessing, man. It's like, you know, like, oh, man. Maybe you're tired of I don't know, like just staying at home. And it's like, you know what? I'm just going to go outside. And be careful, because we might be just very close to the end. We don't really know. But the trial, at the end of the trial, you got to take care of that. You got to be careful that when you're getting, we're just about to get there, you don't fail. And it's impressive how at this moment, the people of Israel start complaining. When we get tired, when we get bored, when we don't see God move, when we don't see God doing things in our life, we got to be careful that we start complaining. Because complaining will always take over your worship. When we complain, it's like negative worship is coming out of our mouths. And in this moment, we find ourselves in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verse 3. We're going to read. It says, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt! Exclamation mark. Okay. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into the desert to starve, the entire assembly, the entire people to die. Wow. They said, it was a trap. They said, you brought us to a trap. We were so good in Egypt. We had all the food we wanted. We were able to be together and share at least. But don't forget that as much as they had what they said they had, they were still in slavery. And it is a trap. A trial will always bring you the temptation to go back to the original place of your destination. You will always be tempted when trial comes to go back to point A and stop believing God for point B. It really is like that. I don't know if you felt like that before, but you might be going through a situation in relationships. Maybe you're single and you've tried and tried and tried. And then you're like, well, I try again. And then he's like, no. And maybe you have people around you are telling you, come on, I believe you can do things right. Come on, I believe that you can have a healthy relationship. But you don't, you're tired. And the temptation will always be to go back to that person, to that toxic relationship. Every trial that you and I face is going to bring the temptation to go back where we were. Don't fall. It's a trap. I have to say it again. Don't fall. It's a trap. Keep going. Keep believing. Keep moving forward. You're not alone. God is with you. He is for you. That trial will bring the best out of you. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to slavery. Don't go back to the past. There's nothing for you there more than that little push it gave you for what's next in your life and what you learn. You know? Trials are great teachers. Trials are great teachers. But my question for you today, is, are you a good student? Are you a good student? Because trials will teach us if we let them teach us. I want to be a good student in life. I want to be there, learn my lesson, and keep moving forward. So what happened to the people of Israel doesn't happen to us. Because of this attitude, come on, can I tell you perspective is key when we're facing a trial? Because they had seen so much from God. God delivered them just like he has done with us in so many other areas in our lives. God did miracles. He showed his might and power like I am sure that he has done in your life and in my life before. But in that moment, they started complaining. Their perspective switched. It shifted. They started seeing everything that was wrong. Oh, my God, we're so tired. How much more are we going to walk? Like, where's the promised land? I didn't know it was going to be such a walk. Like, can we just go back, please? Like, I'm starving. It's crazy, but because of that attitude, because of that moment, everything changed for them. Because the way you react in the trial will always show what is in your heart. And that is exactly what happened to them. It's a sad moment, but that's exactly what it is. Now, I don't know about you, but God is a God of many chances in our lives. And maybe you missed that final trial and you weren't able to pull it off, but God is a good God and he's there for you. And he will give you one more chance. You can always graduate next year, if you know what I'm saying. And the story follows, and we're going to jump to the book of Deuteronomy. 40 years later. That's right. 40 years later. And this is what happens. It says, verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, it says, be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Verse 2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you will obey his command. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feed you with manna, a food previously unknown to your ancestor. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Wow. Like literally what a message the Lord is saying to you, I'm going to give you another chance. I don't know if you need to hear this today, but I believe the Holy Spirit is telling you, he's giving you another chance at it. Take it. Believe that God is with you and go ahead and take it. Wherever you feel like a failure, grab some faith and believe the word of God today that he's telling you, come on, there's another chance. There's another opportunity. Trial is not the end of you or your life. You believe that today? Do you believe that today? Amen. You know, I love this passage because it shows between the lines how God will always provide you in the midst of your trial. And that provision can be in so many forms and so many ways. God is our comforter, and he will provide always. For them, God always provided food. Maybe it wasn't the food that they wanted it, but they had food. I prefer to have manna where I am free than meat where I'm a slave. Because I know that manna is only a momentarily food. In that case, they were about to hit the promised land, and they know that that promised land will provide them with milk and honey. That sounds pretty delicious, right? But in the midst, in the middle, in the trial, they had to go and eat bread every single day. I don't know if you feel like that today, and you're really getting tired, and you're like, I don't know, man. But can you see the bright side? Can you have the right perspective in trial? You know, the right perspective will give you the right attitude. And the right attitude will always help you to go through your trial. Every single time. And God will always provide for you. He provided manna. He provided us today in our trials. He's always there for you. Always helping us. God has a nature of a provider. And today we're talking about Pentecost. Well, the provider manifested in the Pentecost. God gave us a savior first because we need saving. Then he gave us a counselor so that we can live the life that the savior paid for us. What a beautiful moment to celebrate today that we're not alone in the midst of our trial. I want to tell you that you are not alone. And maybe you're telling me right now, you don't know, I feel super alone. I feel alone too sometimes. But I don't allow my feeling to get stuck around for long. I grab on my faith and I remind myself every single time, I am not alone. God is with me. The Holy Spirit, what a promise. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send the counselor that will remind you the words I have spoken. Today, as we celebrate the Pentecost, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a trial that is so hard, in the middle of a moment that we don't want to miss the last trial, the trial within the trial. We don't want to miss it. We want to be approved for the next season. The only way you and I can pull it off is with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. I love the Bible. It says, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I tell you today, when you open your heart for the Holy Spirit, he gives you power to do everything you can. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And the Holy Spirit comes with the power. You know that the definition of that word power in the original means ability. So what we're reading there is literally telling us God will give you the ability to undergo every single trial of your life and be successful. Even if you fall, even if you feel weary, God is there with you. You are not alone. And he loves you. And he will always provide. The Holy Spirit of God. Bible also says 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear but a spirit of power and love and self-control. I want to invite you today, replace fear in your life with the faith that God gives you
the power of love, the power of self-control for you to navigate the trial that you might find yourself in today. We're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. You believe that today, that as you walk in your life, you have someone in front of you who is giving you the vision and guiding you. You believe in your life today that you have someone on your back who is keeping you safe. Can you believe today that you have someone surrounding you, that it is embracing you with love and grace and mercy? Do you believe that there's someone inside of you whispering the words of how loved you are, how special you are for God? And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is right there in this moment. The Bible also says in Galatians 5, 22, 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Today, we're living in a society that is pushing hatred and racism. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit is the one that can give fruit inside of us to love and to have peace and to be gentle and to be faithful? We need Him. I need Him. Do you need Him today? Do you need Him today? He is here. He's right there with you. I want to ask you to close your eyes for just a minute. We're about to be done. And I want to invite you to acknowledge the presence of God in this place right now. He is there with you right now. He's right there right now. And if you're feeling lonely inside right now, you speak to that emotion right now and tell that emotion, I am not alone. For a moment, you can acknowledge that literally the person of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, He is with you. He's right there. He's right there in the test, in the trial. You're not alone. Trials are difficult. Yes, they are. Tests are complicated. Yes, they are. But they're also key for what God has for us and in the development of our character. But we can't do it alone. So I pray, Holy Spirit, right now in this moment, just like that day at Pentecost, You came like a rushing wind, and with flames like fire, You position Yourself in humanity as the counselor, as the guide, as God on earth, as the promise that we will never walk alone. Welcome You, Holy Spirit. I welcome You in my life, and I welcome You in my trial. I welcome You in this pandemic one more time. One of the things I miss the most is being able to pray for people, like laying hands on you. But we have social distancing. You're in the camera, but we're still connected. But don't forget that God doesn't have social distancing. He's not 6 feet apart. Even if it feels like it, the Holy Spirit is right there. And I want to ask you something. Can you please, I know it's a little awkward, but just, can you just like literally hug yourself really quick? Yeah, come on. And I just pray to the Holy Spirit that you can feel His embrace right now. That you can feel Him saying how much He loves you. And that it is okay. That you might be sad today or disappointed, but that in the middle of the trial, you can find His voice guiding you, telling you the truth, telling you words of hope and encouragement every single moment. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You. And maybe you're watching today or you're here and you're like, Holy Spirit, who? It's like, I don't get it. Like, I've heard about Jesus, but like, what are we talking about? Very interesting, because when Jesus was on earth, he spoke about the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to go to heaven after I resurrect, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So guess what the Holy Spirit does now? He speaks about Jesus. The Bible says it is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. It is that voice inside, still the voice, that guides us back to Jesus. And I love that, because we're not alone. We're not alone navigating life. We're not alone in the school of life. We have a counselor, someone that is constantly saying, encouraging, guiding, comforting, loving you and me. And maybe you're listening today and it's just like, whoa, I did not know that. Well, I'm glad you're still here and you're listening, because he wants to be your counselor too. He wants to be your guide too. He wants to be the person, God himself, right next to you. And what do you do? How do I do this? Well, the Bible says that it is Jesus who gives us the Holy Spirit. As you give your life to Jesus, his promise that we will never walk alone comes to be fulfilled in our lives. And the moment that you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, there is a seal, says the Bible, punched in our heart, and it is the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, the rest of your life begins, but you will never do it alone. The feeling might come, but the truth will always prevail. You're never alone. And I want to give you that opportunity today to give your life to Jesus. How do I do that? It's by a prayer, by using your words. And we're going to say this prayer all together. And we're going to talk to Jesus for a minute. And we're going to say, Jesus, thank you so much for what you did on the cross. You died for me. You paid for my sins and gave me a future and a hope. Today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. And I welcome the Holy Spirit in my life. Thank you, Jesus, because you are faithful. And what you promise, you deliver. Thank you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, God is a good God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Be sure to visit us at forabetterlife.org, where you can get connected, plan a visit to any one of our services, send us any prayer requests you may have, or take your next step in your spiritual walk. If you've decided to give your life to Jesus today, congratulations, we're so excited for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us and connect at forabetterlife.org.